From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back to Stop Chasing, Start Living. We're diving into episode 4. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I have a blessing and joy of serving as the host for this podcast. And if you had a chance to join us last time, we had a great guest, Dr. Justin Hanneman, talked about the impact that our brains actually have on giving and how we can be wired. And sometimes that wiring gets a little crossed. And we left the listeners with that challenge of, how am I sometimes using money as bad medicine? How am I sometimes masking the things of this world, utilizing things that, really weren't intended for that, as opposed to shifting our focus to how we can use those things of this world for God's glory. And as we dig into the episode today, just a reminder, the core work of this podcast is really digging into what the Bible has to say about money, how we interacted with it as people, but ultimately, my goal is that this podcast can really just dig into life and the impact that the challenges of life have and how we're called to navigate that as Christians. And so today, super excited to jump in and talk about how attitude can really just affect absolutely everything from the time we wake up in the morning till we put our heads on the pillow at night. And I've got a super special guest today, Aaron Davis, who I've happened to have known for quite a while, a speaker and author. I would guess to literally hundreds and thousands of people you've had a chance to impact through your speaking ministry. And for those that don't know, Aaron and I in our background, 1989, I think it was in December, it was Pershing Auditorium. I'm sure I was wearing some basketball shorts that were way too short because that was the style back then. And we played JV basketball against each other. He was a mighty, mighty Lincoln High Link, and I was a Lincoln Northeast Rocket. And so who knew back then our paths would cross so much over the years. But I've just been so blessed and I think privileged to get to see how your ministry has blown up over the years, how you've had a chance to impact so many lives, just taking things that are important to you, things you've learned, and really speaking that into the lives of the people you've had a chance to impact through your speaking ministry. And so I'm so glad we've been able to kind of stay connected through events over the years. And you spoke at Lincoln Lutheran graduation a number of years ago, and it's just been neat to see that and maintain this brotherhood over the years. And so Aaron, welcome to the show. And I'd like you to just share a little bit about your background with the listeners today.
Scott, I appreciate it. It's a pleasure, brother. It really is. When you mentioned 1989, that's just like, it just seems like it was just eons ago,
yeah.
35 plus years ago, you think about it now, and then Pershing Auditorium, a building that's no longer
doesn't
even there.
Exist. Yep.
It doesn't even exist anymore. But like you said, thank God that, our relationship does. And I just reciprocate those feelings about you, man. Just, it's a blessing to see what you've done and to continue to do.
Thank you.
As an administrator, superintendent, now the role that you have right now, and such a great church too, man. The number of lives you're impacting for eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun stuff every day.
It really is, man. Yeah. And you know what matters?
Yeah.
But man, again, it's a pleasure to be on this podcast, and it was a no-brainer when you asked if I'm going to be in town. I will gladly do it. It'll be a pleasure to do it, man. But yeah, I've been doing the speaking thing for a number of years now, about 26 years actually.
Wow!
And it started with Coach Ron Brown and Coach Osborne were huge in that, and Stan Parker, a guy I know that you know.
Yeah.
Those guys really kind of taught me the ropes early on how this thing was. But the first talk I gave, official first talk, if you would, out of Lincoln, I was in Seward, Nebraska.
Oh, of all places.
Yeah, in Seward, yeah.
Familiar with Seward?
Yeah, you know that place a little bit.
A little bit.
And it was, it wasn't on your campus. And you know what, Scotty? It very well could have been. It's been so long ago. I actually think it was at a local church there in Seward, though, to be honest. I think it's where it was at. But anyway, all those years ago, and to see the different ways and journeys and ups and downs to where God has allowed me to meet some amazing people, man. I mean, throughout the country and around the globe, so it's something I never thought I saw myself doing.
It's amazing.
But it's an honor and a blessing to do it, man. Whether it's in a faith-based organization or whether it's a college campus or a college team or a high school of 6,000 or a high school of 600. I've known both of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether it's a corporate setting, a sales group, a bank, or a hospital, it's a lot of fun, man. And I still love this thing.
Yeah.
I still get nervous before every talk. You know, I think when you care,
yeah,
you know, there's those butterflies that are there, you know? So I always get nervous before a talk. In fact, the smaller the audience, the more nervous I get. Because they're right there.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a gray hair out of my ear, my nose. Yeah. They can see it.
They're going to know it. And somebody might actually tell you.
Why do you think I shave them bald?
There you go. I love it. Well, and you're blessed with just a beautiful family. Like another crazy crossing of paths that we had was literally at the hospital with the birth of two of our children, where I walked down the hall. I'm like, wait a minute.
That's right.
Aaron, what's going on? Just been neat to see them grow up and move on to great things. And we're both in that stage where they're launching and doing their stuff in their world. And we're feeling old and a lot less stuff going on at home, right?
It's a different stage for sure.
It really is. Well, as we dig into this conversation today, you know, I always feel like that, our own personal story with money. I went to a conference a little over a year ago and was really challenged by that. And, you know, as in my role that I get a chance to interact with people and their giving, I was reminded that it's important to really understand your own journey with money and giving, so that you don't project into those conversations you have with people. Mm-hmm. You recognize kind of the space you're in, and understand that everybody's space is unique in terms of kind of their background and history. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be a good place to start for you just to share a little bit about, you know, what it looked like in your home growing up, how your family interact with money, you know, family of faith and those kinds of things. Like what did that look like in your space growing up?
You bet. You know, I was blessed to have a great mom and dad. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad was a pastor, a little small church here in Lincoln, Angelic Temple, for years. And mom and dad have gone on to be with the Lord now. But my parents, I'm the youngest out of six. There were four boys and two girls. And we didn't have a lot growing up. And I mean, we had very little growing up as far as money goes. But my dad was faithful with what he had. And you look in throughout scripture, a number of times where the woman gave a little bit. That was all she had. It wasn't much. Right. But for her, it was all she had. And Jesus said, she gave the most, because it was all she had. Yep. It was that sacrificial giving. Yep. Cost her something. And my parents were very similar that way. Mm. You know, my parents were major advocates. Even though it was their church, they really believed in the importance in the commandment of tithing, you know, and that percentage. And they lived that. And they didn't just talk about it. They lived it. And they taught us that. And I wasn't always faithful with that.
Right.
You know? And my parents, I could never claim ignorance, though, because I grew up watching that.
Right.
And growing up around money, my parents, you know, my father was always one to where he was never impressed with how much you had, and he never looked down on you for how little you had, because he was one of the ones that have a lot. But he gave sacrificially so often.
Wow.
And he was blessed as a result. My father had a very, impeccable relationship with some of the top businesses here in Lincoln, a lot of those, because he was a janitor as well.
Okay.
He cleaned, it was called Davis and Sons. It was my dad and me and my brothers.
He had the crew. Yeah.
So there were times, Scott, after basketball practice, I'd be going to a local business to help dad clean, empty out trash cans and clean bathrooms and things of that nature. But my father always taught us that just because we cleaned a mess, we don't have to look a mess.
Yeah.
So he always taught us to take care of things. You know, he always did. And so we were always taught the importance of and the value of money and what it can do for not just for you, but for others.
Yeah.
So my father always looked at it as seed, to plant seed into the ministry is what he looked at it.
Yeah. That's powerful. And just the value of hard work.
Like, absolutely.
You know, you put in the work and you know, the chance to build those memories with family.
Absolutely.
I'm sure some pretty powerful stories.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
In and through all that. But you know, you've built your speaking career literally on this topic of attitude and the fact that attitude has such an impact. And you know, I think throughout scripture, you see these references to the heart, and you know, oftentimes what grabs hold of the heart has great influence on us. You know, Matthew 6, you know, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. So, you know, those things that we focus on tend to get really our attention, and they can start consuming us from that perspective. And I think that's so true. You know, I kind of relate that to our attitude. You know, our attitude can be so influential in terms of really the outcome of how we see the day, the week, the year, you know, our experiences, our memories, those kinds of things. You know, talk a little bit about how you, you know, arrived at this message of attitude and how you've been able to leverage that in your experiences to to make an impact on other people in terms of how you've shared that story?
You know, Scott, a lot of that was from my father. You know, my dad had just an amazing attitude. I mean, you know, and here's a man that, you know, brother murdered, was one of the reasons why he moved to Nebraska in 1963, mm-hmm. because his one of his older brothers, Walter, was murdered in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
And my uncle Donald, who was stationed here in Nebraska, mm-hmm. a long time, if you're listening, if you're a long time to Lincoln native, you know that Air Park was military back mm-hmm. in the yep. late 50s and early 60s. So yep. my uncle Donald was actually living, he was stationed here, and buried brothers, buried sisters. My oldest brother, Miles, was killed mm-hmm. 15 years ago on Monday, in fact, on Sunday the 6th. But yet through all that pain, my father's attitude was I'm not saying wasn't touched, but he maintained it. Mm. But you mentioned scripture, you know, and Paul talks in Romans, let this mind be in you, but it's also in Christ Jesus, mm. and by the renewing of your minds. Mm, and yes. that's plural. That means it must be done on a regular basis. Right. It didn't say renewed and you're done. No, mm-hmm. renewing on. And that's something I bow to myself every day. It's like, Aaron, where's your mind at?
Right.
You know, what's that attitude about? Well, it's renewing, it has to keep going. Mm. So I learned that from my dad, and my dad would often say, I know it was David that said it first, and obviously in scripture said, you know, and David encouraged himself mm. in the Lord. Mm. And my father would raise us as kids. He would always tell us, sometimes you got to pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a champion. Mm. Not the world, not look at me. No, sometimes you got to pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a champion, because you know who you are, but more importantly, whose you are. Mm. So he says, you got to encourage yourself sometimes.
Yep.
You know, my father, he was a guy that, in the world of, you would say, you know, socioeconomic status, you know, as a janitor, may say, well, he doesn't make a whole lot. Well, he didn't make a whole lot. But my father, though, his attitude, if you talk to anybody that worked at a local place here in town, it was, in fact, I can say it was Pegler and Cisco, mm-hmm. you know, right there on Center Park Road.
Yeah.
And it, Pegler sold years ago to mm-hmm. Cisco. But my father would be in those hallways, mopping and buffing and waxing floors, whistling. Mm. Like the old song, whistle while you work, you know. And my father, he took pride in that. The attitude he took towards something, maybe some would say, well, that's a very, you know, low status of a job or occupation. My father took pride in that. He goes, so the attitude that you do anything is the attitude you do everything with. Mm. And there was one time, Scott, you'd appreciate this being an avid basketball fan as well. This is the Bulls during their heydays,
yep.
you know, in the 90s when you and I were, you know, junior high and high school. But there was a game on that in the playoffs the Bulls are playing. And, you know, it's June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those games start about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Well, I was at Pegler's and Cisco, you know, cleaning the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, and I'm trying to get it done fast. I want to at least catch the second half,
yeah.
you know. And my dad comes in the bathroom, and there's water all over the sink that I'm cleaning. Because I'm doing it, you know, just bad, doing
you're
a bad job.
After
I'm frustrated, and, you know, it's water all over the mirror. And my dad comes in. My dad was only about 5'9", mm-hmm. you know, and he put his hand on that mop. He had huge hands, though, and he goes, son, your name's on that sink.
Mm.
I said, sir, because it was yes, sir, no, sir in our house.
Right,
yes, ma'am, no,
right.
ma'am. I said, sir. And he goes, every job you do, your name's on it.
Oh, my goodness.
He goes, if you can't wipe a mirror down the right way or clean a bathroom the right way, who's going to trust you to sign papers and documents or have a position or hold a position the right way?
That's deep and true.
Do it right.
Mm.
I've never forgotten, Scotty.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be walking through airports and I see a scuff mark and I'll go, wait a minute. I'll be like, what am I doing?
My name is on that.
My name is on it. But it's just so programmed to me. So my dad's attitude towards the things that were domestic or some people would consider, you know, beneath them. My father said, there's no work beneath anybody, you know. So the attitude he took towards some things, he took towards everything. It wasn't a this way or that way. He did things with an attitude to be the best at doing it. So that has always carried with me. And there were times I didn't understand it and times I didn't even appreciate it.
Right.
And then, but what's in you eventually comes out.
Sure.
In regards if it's good or bad.
Yep.
And we can suppress things all we want.
Mm-hmm.
But my father, I can hear his voice. Do it right. Your name is on it. Your name is on it. So the attitude he took towards those things was the same that he instilled in us six kids. And mom and dad did their best. So we if we didn't do it the right way, it was because we didn't know better.
Yeah.
Because we had great examples in front of us our whole lives.
You know, I think about that person whistling in the hall doing their job. You or I step into that hallway and see and hear that. We can't help but have a smile be put on our face That's by right. that person.
That's
and
right.
And I'm going to share a little bit. Some of our listeners will kind of know this, but, you know, I think about the people in my life that I know could light up a room, you know, just based on their presence. And we today here on our campus just laid to rest, just one of the most beautiful people that I've ever had in my life. Died too young of a battle with cancer, a 10-year battle with cancer. But Ruth Lohmeyer, she was one of those people in my life that when I made eye contact with her, I knew it was coming. I knew a smile, a caring statement, an affirmation of who she believed I was, and just speaking truth into my heart. And it's people like that that they can literally direct and make influence on so many people around them just based on that positive attitude that they exude to others, you know. And I've always considered that a gift that people have, because I would love to be that way, but I know I'm not that way. Like some other people really have that gift. And, you know, I was thankful to have taken the time to write her a note a couple weeks ago and just let her know what that has always meant to me in my life. And I think we all have those kinds of people around us that have, we're better because we've been around them.
That's right.
And a lot of that's their choice and attitude and how they choose to come and be around us. And so as I think about that and I think about, you know, some of the people you've had a chance to have around your world, who would you consider to be, you know, I think of that attitude of positivity as really being generous of your time and your energy towards others. And I'm interested, just, you know, obviously your dad was a huge one for you, but who else have you just seen just be great examples of a generous heart, of a positive attitude in the people you've had a chance to be around?
Well, yeah, you nailed it. My dad and my mom, first of all, I seen that spirit of giving and an attitude of gratitude. I know it sounds cliche, but it's the truth. An attitude of gratitude.
Yep.
They were grateful for life. They were grateful for health. They were grateful for other people. They were grateful for Christ. They were grateful for God. They were huge examples of that. And Coach Osborne, of course, was one of those, is one of those as well. Whether you were a 30th string on the bench like me, a receiver, or you were number three in the country in your position, he treated us the same, and he treated us with an attitude. He was just glad we were there. And not only that, but he displayed that. Coach Osborne did things and continues to do things for the state that many won't even know until after he's with Jesus, because he's not that type. He's not going to tell you what he's doing. You know, he's not going to look at me.
Right.
You know, he shuns stuff like this. Like, no, it's not about me. It's not about you. Scott, you've seen that a number of times being in the city. So, you know, a lot of other Husker fans, people outside the country. I remember traveling with Coach Osborne. It was like traveling with Paul McCartney. You know, we went to me and him. It was like, wow. I mean, because I look at him as coach, and I've always known him as coach.
Right.
One of my older brothers, Mark Davis, was an equipment manager for the football team. So back in the early mid 80s. So I've been going around that stadium even before I played there as a kid.
Yeah.
And so I've known Coach Osborne since I was about 11 years old. But when we flew, this is when Turner Gill, Nebraska's former quarterback and quarterback's coach, was coaching at Buffalo.
Okay.
And he brought me and flew me and Coach Osborne in to speak to the team. And me and Coach Osborne traveling, and we're in the Chicago O'Hare Airport. It was person after person after person. I was wondering if we were going to make it to the gate.
Right.
But I seen him treat them with every person with so much grace and so much class. Even when we were in a hurry, and he signed as many things as he could, he was gracious with everybody. I couldn't imagine. I mean, that's how his life was.
Right.
But how much gratitude he showed towards people and so much grace. But the attitude he took towards that wasn't, I don't got time for this. You know, what are you doing? Leave me alone. He realized that we're just a vapor, man.
Yep.
We're not here long.
Yep.
So, it might be a little inconvenience, but so what? The attitude he took towards that was, that's always stuck with me. That is, because I've seen the opposite side of people doing, and you have too. When people, they become bigger than they really think they are.
It's beneath me. I don't have time for this.
Exactly. Or, exactly. Yep. So Coach Osborne is definitely one of those. Coach Brown, of course, is one of those as well. Has always been one of those for me. There's a gentleman here in town named Max Callen. Mm-hmm. That was with Smith Hayes for years. Retired now, did very well for his clients and his family. Just an attitude of giving. Mm-hmm. Was always that way. My brothers are that way. Daniel and Mark. My father-in-law, Jeff Beatty. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing man from Sumner, awesome. Nebraska.
Yeah.
My wife, Brooke, of course, is that same way. She learned it from her parents.
Yeah.
My in-laws. Her grandfather, Gerald Beatty, they have still a large hog operation out in central Nebraska, and he was on the board for Farm Bureau for years. In fact, he's in the Pork Producers Hall of Fame.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you know, so yeah. A lot of bacon,
of all things, of all things, yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't like bacon, Scotty?
Exactly.
But he gave and had an attitude of that, to give, to improve others' life. But mostly, he was sowing seed for the kingdom.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was his attitude. He goes, and I've always heard the saying, we ain't taking it with us.
Right, right.
And we're just stewards anyway, Scotty. Yeah. That's all we are, all that you and I have. And there's been times in my life, Scott, where I forgot about that.
Mm. We all do.
To my own detriment.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't mine.
Right.
So what am I holding on? And it's like that. I want to find this, and I know you've heard this saying, and it's Jim Elliot. And I love that quote that Jim Elliot said this years ago. And I think he was, the background, I believe he was killed shortly after it. But basically, in a nutshell, what he's saying, you know, not to hold on something that I can never keep in exchange for something I can never lose.
Mm.
You know, and Jim Elliot was the late missionary. And I'll find that sometime. And I know I wrote it in my notes from church, but here it goes. It goes, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And you think about that, everything that we have, Scotty, is not ours.
Yeah.
And the things in this world, when you know, you're in a, if you're in a listening, if you're from a rural area or you've been driven down a rural country road, you see a lot of that farm equipment under trees that's rusted out.
Mm.
Sometimes it has trees growing up through it.
Right, right.
A swather, a combine, or old planter. At one time, Scotty, that was the latest and greatest in technology.
Yep.
And it's literally out in the pasture.
Yep.
So it's like, why am I holding on to these things of this world where it's all going to decay?
Mm.
And that's, I think that quote by Jim Elliot, it just, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And that's, it hit me like a ton of bricks when he said that. You can see it was on Sunday morning in church. And I've heard that quote before.
Sure.
But I think sometimes things hit us at different times when
100%,
you know, where it really resonates even a lot more, but that really hit me Sunday, man. So those are just a few of the people in my life who have shown that, you know, my business partner, Todd Kelly, is that same way. There's so many,
You
know, Coach Johnson, my former coach in Lincoln High,
was
that same way, man. Yeah. So there's a lot of things, those examples for sure.
And you're just so thankful for those people in your life. And you know, I was a young, administrator. And part of, as a Lutheran administrator, there's a national conference, Association of Lutheran Secondary Schools hosts a conference every year. And one year, I was probably my second year as a principal and just drowning, just literally drowning in that role. And I had, who's now a good friend, my buddy, Jeremy Lowe, his dad was a principal of a Lutheran school up in Minnesota in the Twin Cities area. And I vividly and distinctly remember him giving me a call. He was on the board at the time for ALSS, and it was a kind of a care call, for lack of better things, and walked through a few questions, and we talked on the phone, and then towards the end of the conversation, he shared some of the most affirming, he didn't know me, but he shared some of the most affirming statements about what I was doing and why I was doing it, and it hit me right so hard between the eyes, and just at this, the blessing that was for me. It was the words I absolutely needed to hear, and exactly when I needed to hear it. And that has always stuck with me, and to hear people speak that truth into somebody they don't really know.
Right.
And yet the impact that can have. And I think about that, you know, for us as people every day, we have a chance to be in that space.
Right.
And yet because of the busyness of life, how Satan kind of distracts us from things, we get worried about ourselves. You know, maybe some of us are a wee bit selfish on occasion. Mm-hmm. And instead of choosing joy and choosing to share joy with others and how we interact with them and build them up, we tend to find fault, or we tend to find ourselves into this negative space.
Right.
And so I've always just been so appreciative of the people that that I've had a chance to be around that have had that attitude of like, the glass is always half full. Mm-hmm. They're always seeing the good in things. Even when I may be beating up myself to them and they're like, what are you talking about? Right. You know, and they pick you back up because that's what they've chosen when they got out of bed this morning.
Right.
And I love that. I love seeing that in people. And I, you know, you referenced this just a little bit ago. You lost a brother a number of years ago. And I would guess when that gets real for you, it's tough.
Oh yeah.
The hard days. Mm-hmm. And I'm just interested in how do you step out of that space? How do you choose to find joy in a day or in a memory maybe that sometimes is super difficult?
Well, that's a good question, Scotty. April 6, 2009, my brother Miles was killed. He was on his way to work downtown Lincoln, Nebraska here. He was hit by a car. A person just didn't see him. September 18th, 2014, my mom unexpectedly passed away. November 28th, 2021, my father unexpectedly passed away. And Scotty, I have no problem talking to people on a stage, and I'm always nervous, but I'm up for it. I don't do well with grief. And I did not, and really, Scotty, when you think about it, my attitude, it's a choice every day. And the beauty of about choice, you know, free will, God is going to say, you know, here stands before you, you know, you choose.
Right.
And he's a God. He's not going to, that's why the scripture says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. Any man who hears my voice, I'll come in. It didn't say, hey, I'm breaking down the door. You know, we have a choice. Just like our attitude, we have a choice whether we want to accept that or not. Grief is hard. Grief is like a tsunami in that you don't know when it's coming.
Right.
And it's also like an earthquake when it hits you, the actual moment. But the aftershocks can be just as deadly as the actual earthquake itself. I would say at 51 years old now, Scotty, after burying grief for so long, and when my father passed in 2021, and you know, I battled with cancer in 2021, as you know, thank God that's behind me now. My dad died in 2021. COVID was going on, so business was all over the place at that point. All these things happened, and I had an attitude of anger. So we can choose the attitude we want.
Absolutely.
Because there's also the bad attitude.
For sure.
Because we always hear about the good, and although there's the bad attitude as well. You know, Scotty, you played with guys like that. I did. We've worked with them, unfortunately, before, to where, everybody's got an attitude.
Yeah.
It's just what type do you have?
Exactly.
And I had a horrible, I was furious at God for a long time. I'd go to church, lock jaw, just mad. Why me, God? Why me? A why me attitude, an angry attitude, a bitter attitude, a resentful attitude, and then a really grief-stricken attitude. And Scott, for literally, you can see in my journal right here, it says a decade of difference. Because literally from 2014 to 20, when I lost my mom is when, I mean, 2020, I lost my brother in 2009. I was kind of just going through the motion. I was still, but from 2024, you look at that when I wrote that in there, that's when I got this planner. For 10 years, I was just in an angry, bitter place. Bitter place.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Enough's enough. And God will do things or allow things to happen in your life saying, do I got your attention? He loves us enough to allow us to get a little injured, not kill us, and heaven forbid, but it's like, what is going to take to really break through that attitude of anger?
A refiner's fire.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of times I was just hopping into fire because of bad decisions. Like, well, here we go again. You know what I'm saying? God's like, this brother's not learning.
Oh my God. Why is he so dense?
Why is he so hard-headed? You know? And you know, when I lost my dad, I was really just going through the motions for 2 years. I go to these events. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that old meme we see now on social media where the guy's saying everything's fine, but there's a dumpster fire behind him.
Right. Right.
That was my life, man. Yeah. Everything's fine.
You're bringing positivity to other people, but behind you, you're just, ugh.
You're spot on. And I started seeing a grief counselor in August of 2023. And he goes, AD, you have a lot of callousness of anger. And it was. just like the muscle, when you work out and you grip in those weights, you get callous in your hands. You know, you see, it doesn't bother you. My heart was that way.
And that's hard to see.
It's hard to see. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very hard to see because very often, seldom do we check ourselves and mentally and say, give me a full, you know, mental, spiritual, emotional checkup. Yeah. Especially as men, I think at times.
I would agree with that.
I'm good.
Yep.
I'm good.
It's all good.
We'll take care of our vehicles more than we will ourselves.
Yes, we will.
We check that lights on. If there's a dent, especially we're going to fix that doggone car, you know. But it comes to us, oh, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Man, I had all sorts of warning lights going on in my emotional and spiritual dashboard. Right. Bing, 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 bing. It was like, God was like, what is it going to take? And Scotty, I thank God that God loves me enough that he broke me. Mm. Not to hurt me, just to slow me down and saying, now you must get back on this potter's wheel. Let me shape you up somewhere. And it's never comfortable.
Yeah.
But my attitude had to change towards grief and towards trusting God and towards relying on God. Because I was bitter, man. And I think now, Scotty, is why, I don't think I know, is why I don't, I have such a sense of urgency. Mm. Because I feel for 10 years, I was just going through the motions. Mm. And I had a lot of regret and a lot of guilt. That was 10 years of my kids' lives. Mm-hmm. You know, oldest AD, he'll be 27 this year. Kenan turns 25 this month and gets married next month. Woo-hoo. You know, Naya, she'll be 21 this month as well.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, and when you talk to the kids, they was like, Dad, but we knew you were hurting, but you're always there for us.
Right.
And you know what, Scotty? This was just on Saturday night. We had our friends had a wedding shower for Kenan and his fiance, and they were playing, you know, couples. Mm-hmm. What do you call that game? The married couples challenge, whatever. Okay, that thing.
Yeah, I think I'm sure. Yeah, I have to go to one of those this weekend, so I get to experience it.
Yeah, so there's something like that, and there's different questions, and they put up there, you know, your hero, and Kenan put up Pops. Mm.
Ooh. You weren't ready for that one. Mm-mm. There's a gap there and a pride in that. Yeah. A Thanksgiving in that.
Because I know the times that I was mentally not there. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, he still put and we're God's. Mm. So just that attitude, the way he held that up, but I just seen it. I've just been thinking about the past couple of days, and I'm like, man, God, you were so good even when I wasn't. And that was so humbling to see that, man.
Yeah.
In that 10-year period when I was, like I said, I was always there for the kids, but they knew that I was hurting. Mm. And for him to say that, I mean, it's a room full of people, and for the kids to show that, it was so humbling, man. But this also shows you God's attitude of mercy and grace.
Amen.
And I haven't even really wrote about it yet in my journal. Because I've been processing it still, because it just happened on Saturday. And I've just been still processing that. To when, even when we don't have the attitude that Christ, the attitude of Christ, like the scripture says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, and how for a decade that was not my mindset. Mm. You know, but yet how we still show grace and mercy. Mm. You know, like I said, it just didn't deserve any of it.
Yeah, God doesn't give up on that.
No, just like you said, he didn't give up on me when I had given up on myself many times. Mm. Still get on stage, everything's fine.
Yeah.
No, everything wasn't fine.
Yeah.
You know, my marriage wasn't fine. My finances weren't fine. Mentally, I wasn't fine. But yet God. Mm. So I wrote in that journal, you know, a decade of difference. And Scotty, we're 51 years old now, man.
We're not young anymore.
We're not young.
Yeah.
Scotty, I realize, man, there is more behind me than I got in front of me. Mm. And that's one thing every morning I just keep that, God has just pressed that in my mind so much after I go through my counseling sessions, man. urgency, urgency, urgency. And not just working. No, I mean, urgency to laugh, urgency to love, urgency to thank God, urgency just to live life and not allow that attitude of anger, frustration, and pain to weigh me down like it did.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's almost like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's hard to see it. And then once you realize it, you see the impact that that's where Satan wins. He gets us so distracted in stuff. And in this case for you, grief, other people, it's addiction, you know, whatever those things might be, he gets us so distracted in our stuff that we're not living the life he's really put right in front of us. And when you think about all those challenges, all the loss that you've had, but then flip that back and you start looking at the blessings in your life, the family, the mentors that you've had and all the positive, it's that shadow is where Satan wins, and it can be really, really hard to rise above that shadow. And really, we can't do that ourselves. No. Like you're getting help with that from a counselor. Mm-hmm. You know, the Spirit works in our hearts to like literally hit us over the head with the holy anvil and wake us up and like what is going on. And you know, and ultimately the blessing that I hear through you and all of that is, in spite of some of those things, you were still able to have an amazing influence on the people around you, even while you were dealing with your own stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks volumes too, just in terms of the fact that, now you already mentioned it, it's not healthy to hold that stuff inside.
Right.
It's not healthy to sit on that stuff. Right. And, you know, I've literally been to almost 10 funerals in the last 3 months. And that's part of my role here at church, but it's other people that are connected to me that you know, unexpected loss, those kinds of things. And that always puts things in perspective in terms of when you think about legacy, when you think about how will I be remembered? What if I'm not here tomorrow, what would they say about me? And I don't say that from a selfish pride standpoint. It's more of like, what did I leave behind? Mm. You know, you're at the same stage I am with kids moving on into careers and other stuff. And I have one getting married later this year too.
Congratulations.
Figure out how to pay for that later. But ultimately, you know, I have been asking myself more often lately of like, what have I taught? Mm. You know, what have they picked up on? Right. And also a reminder that my role as a dad doesn't ever stop. Mm-hmm. And frankly, there's probably gonna be some times in the next few years where they might actually care about listening more than they ever have before because life's getting real, adulting's hard,
you know,
all those kinds of things. And I think as a father, as a husband, like every day we get a chance to choose how we approach that day.
That's right.
You know, and your statement about urgency, like, you know, how can we make the most of every day? You know, I think when I think about generosity and having a heart of generosity, when I think about the space God wants us to be in with our relationship with the stuff around us, you already mentioned we can't take it with us, but yet in the distraction of grief and other things in life, if we're not thinking about other people and how we can be a blessing to them, it's pretty hard to be generous because we're stuck in our own spot. We're stuck in our own place. And ultimately, that's where we do have that opportunity to be a positive influence on the people around us, to choose joy when we roll out of bed in the morning and tell Satan, not today, Satan, today's my day, Satan, and I'm going to rock it in spite of maybe what happened yesterday.
Absolutely.
Whatever that looks like in our lives. And so, you know, the opportunity we have every day to be a blessing to other people, it's in front of us.
It is. Scotty, you mentioned even just the, you know, it's how it's a choice every day that we make. And I was, I switched up my morning routine a lot because I'm by nature a night owl. Mm. My parents are both night owls.
Okay.
I mean, and still be up early, at least my father. My mom would too, but my dad would be up between 4 and 4:30 to go clean. Because, you know, you're there before the office people get in there, you know? And then he'd go back in again in the evenings to get a head start for the next day. Mm. And I would hear my father whistling sometimes. Not enough to wake us up, but you know, and then I'd go to work with him on those mornings. I'm wiping my eyes, and sometimes he'd go to work and come back and get us.
Right.
Scotty, think about that. He would go to work clear on Center Park Road,
right,
by, you know, the state penitentiary, We lived by the Salvation Army Community Center because you played small fry too, didn't you?
I didn't play small fry. I was always too tall and dumb.
There's no way you could play because you were I think it was 5'3" or something. You were 5'3" in second grade,
probably. So
you
could play.
But a lot of your buddies, Stukenschmidt and those guys played. Engelbart and those guys played. Elrod and those guys played. Elrod, I think they stressed the line a little bit, but that's a whole other conversation.
They had a different measuring stick for that.
I'm thinking this dude's 6'10", you know. At least when you were like 480, seemed like he was that tall. Yeah,
exactly.
But my father, we lived by there. My father would go to work, come back and pick us up on a Saturday morning. And he'd be put in 3 hours.
Wow.
So these mornings that I'm, you know, no, great, you got to get your rest. I'm not advocating like some people, sleep is for the weak. No, sleep is health.
It's important.
Yeah, sleep is important. You're going to be sleeping a lot longer if you keep that schedule up you have, exactly. You know? So when I get up and there's those mornings where I just don't want to, because, you know, the bed is awesome. The pillow's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm going to go do X, Y, Z. Nothing even close is physically taxing, is what my dad was going to do. AD, get your butt out of bed now. So we have to have those conversations with ourselves in the morning. You know, so like I was telling you that where David encouraged himself, there's some morning to you that are listening, there's going to be some mornings you're going to have to encourage yourself.
Yep.
And say, you know what? You already won. Because if you opened your eyes, you already won.
Yeah, new day.
It's a new day.
Yeah.
Because, Scott, even this morning, it's April 8th, there were people that went to sleep last night, April 7th. Their clothes were laid out. They had an agenda for the day. They had a plan. There was a plane they were going to catch or a meeting. And as you and I speak, there's someone planning a celebration life service just like you were just at today.
Yep.
And they had no idea when they went to bed last night that unfortunately they were going to get that phone call or that text message of that loved one passing. Yep. So if you wake up, you won.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean there won't be battles. You won that battle. There won't be battles, but for today, you won today by waking up.
Oh, man.
And I have to remind myself that every time, no matter what I'm going through, I woke up.
Yeah.
So I got another opportunity, man. Oh. And the attitude we take towards that really dictates our day.
It does.
My dad would always say, win the morning. Win the morning.
Win the morning.
Yep. Win the morning. And I've always kept that in my mind. Win your morning. And if you win your morning, you got a better chance when your afternoon.
Amen.
Afternoon turns to days, and those days pile up to weeks and months. And then before you know it, you're doing something. That's meaning you're taking some injuries.
Yeah.
You're going to take some blows, but
for sure.
Each day, just say, I just want to win the morning. And just so far and so forth. Yeah, and that attitude of gratitude towards it.
Yeah. Well, you might have just left our listeners with maybe our takeaway for today. You know, when I think about, you know, we talk about stop chasing, just quit chasing the things of this world and start living. And what you just said about, you know, wake up in the morning and win the morning.
Win it.
Man, that's pretty powerful. I don't know if there's anything else maybe you want to leave with our listeners today and a challenge and in their living challenge.
I would say the biggest challenge, you know, just say the challenges for me is just realizing, and then I know it's going to sound cliche-ish, but life is short, even at as long as it's short. So have an attitude of gratitude daily. And I always say attitude over everything. I mean, regardless of what's going on in your life, what's happening, you still have a choice of the attitude you pick towards it. Yes. Even in sadness, we have an attitude to focus on Christ rather than the grief itself. You will get through those hard times. And I didn't say over or around, no, through.
Yes.
Because you can only go through it.
Yep.
I tried to go under it. I tried at times, and if sometimes that's a cocktail, that's fine. If that's an issue, don't do it. But I tried to go around it through a bottle. That didn't work.
Yeah.
I tried to go under it by just being mad. That didn't work. You have to go through it. Attitude over everything.
Amen. Amen. Well, Aaron, I really appreciate you being with us today, D. This has been a blessing.
I didn't mean to blubber on your microphone. They might have to wipe that off.
No, it's all good. You know, you brought a little heart. You brought a little heart to the show today, and you know, we could have gone on for two more hours.
I didn't realize it was the
all good things. So, you know, as if you're out there listening, just want to encourage you, help you to be reminded that, you know, in Christ there is this strength, and you know, Satan wins when we chase, and really what God wants for us is to start living and living each day. So until next time, let's start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.